I'm going to be talking about some QTL and gene mapping work for Asian soybean rust that we've been doing at University of Illinois. So I'm going to start with a brief overview of soybean rust, what it is, why it's important, talk about three mapping populations that we've been working on so far, and for each one, I'm going to include some results and future directions. So Asian soybean rust is caused by the biotrophic broad-spectrum pathogen Phacopsora pachyrhizae. Favorable conditions for disease development include extended periods of leaf wetness along with 75 to 80% relative humidity and 59 to 86 degrees Fahrenheit temperature. The growth stage of the soybean that's most susceptible to the disease is between early flowering or R1 stage and mid-seed development or R5. And the reason that soybean rust causes these high yield losses of up to 80% is that heavy infection causes an early leaf drop which inhibits pod set. And in the worst case scenario, for example, in Brazil in 2003, the disease caused a yield loss equaling an amount of around $2 billion due to a rapid movement of the disease through a susceptible variety. So this is how it spread throughout the US in 2007. So this was from November 1st. We might have a few more red counties by now, but the disease always starts in either southern Florida or Louisiana and slowly spreads throughout the southeast during the spring of the year, and then we get these northern counties coming in just at the very end of the growing season. So the disease does have the potential to move north, but it's always at the end of the season when it's too late to cause any loss in yield, and also the pathogen cannot overwinter past a line from about just along the Gulf Coast in southern Florida. So just because it got to even Champaign County, Illinois last spring doesn't mean it's more likely to get there with a higher amount of inoculum next spring. So soybean rust reaction types are often thought of as the susceptible TAN, which has a lot of Uridinia producing spores, and the resistant RB, which has few to no Uridinia, but it can become much more complex than that. For example, some isolate and resistance genes combinations will produce an immune reaction where you won't see anything or maybe a slight hypersensitive reaction. And the RB reaction can range from no sporulation, as depicted here, gradually increasing amounts of sporulation. You can see how the amount of Uridinia and sporulation is increasing as we move from right to left, all the way up to TAN, which has the highest amount of sporulation. So it's not always so simple as just RB versus TAN, especially when you're looking at screens of diverse PIs. So what are some ways that we can use to manage soybean rust? Well, the first line of defense was fungicides. They work. Several fungicides chemistries are labeled and effective. However, application is expensive. It can cut greatly into a farmer's profit margin. So a more practical or attractive long-term solution is resistance to Asian soybean rust, which will be realized through the use of resistant varieties. So some work has been done with breeding for resistance to soybean rust. So RPP 1 through 4 major genes have been named. So these have all been found to condition resistance to a narrow subset of isolates. And RPP 1, 2, and 4 have been mapped to these linkage groups. And there's evidence that RPP 3 maps to linkage group C2. And there's a fifth resistance gene that's been reported. This is published by Roger Borman's group at University of Georgia. They have this gene called RPP?Hyuga, which maps the linkage group C2, and there's some evidence that RPP3 and Hyuga may be mapping to the same location. So these genes work, but only on a narrow subset of isolates. So all four of the number genes have been defeated, and if RPP3 and Hyuga are the same, then that one's probably also been defeated. So this creates a need to find germplasmid and PIs that have either additional major genes beyond these five that I'm showing, or possibly even better, some germplasm PIs that contains durable quantitative or partial resistance. This type of resistance is usually characterized by slow rusting, that is, fewer lesions, fewer Uridinia per lesions, lower spore production per lesion. So various components of lowered spore production, which leads to a slower rate of progress of a rust epidemic. So once we get one or both of these germplasm sources, obviously the next step is to cross it with high-yielding germplasm lines and cultivars. And if we can determine the map location of these rust-resistance genes in QTLs, that will allow us to do marker-assisted selection, which will greatly ease backcrossing of these resistance loci into adapted agronomically favorable high-yielding lines. So towards that end, I'm going to talk about three populations that we've been working on. The first is derived from a cross between the high-yielding cultivar Lota with the PI594538A, which has been previously found to show red-brown lesions in both containment screens at Fort Detrick and in our University of Illinois greenhouse. So the population consisted of 100 F3 drive F4 lines along with 10 checks. So those included the two parents and several other, like we had the lines containing the four RPP genes. And the experimental design consisted of 10 single plant replicates and a randomized complete block design. We inoculated these at the 2-week-old seedling stage at the Fort Detrick containment facility using the Zimbabwe isolate. So we used a concentration of 60,000 spores per mil, and we did the disease assessments were done 2 weeks after inoculation. So they were rated for tan versus red-brown lesions, so a lesion type rating. They also looked at the severity, which is based on the number of lesions on each plant. This ran from a 1-to-5 scale. And for plants showing the RB lesion type, the amount of sporulation within each RB lesion was estimated on a 1-to-5 scale. Remember I said at the beginning, the RB lesions can also have some sporulation in them. So once we got the results, the population segregated for a single dominant gene. As expected, the Lota parent showed the tan lesions and the PI parent showed RB lesions. And the ratio worked out to fit very nicely to a 3/8 red-brown to 1/4 segregating line to 3/8 tan ratio. So this shows that the data fits to a single gene ratio. We did some analysis of variance and found significant differences among lines for rust severity and lesion type. And we also found that the lesion type and rust severity were highly correlated, as was severity and red-brown lesion sporulation. So now we know we've got a single gene segregating, we want to know where in the genome it's going to map. So we screened the two parents and some progeny with some SSR markers, which were previously mapped to the known RPP gene location. Remember I talked about the map locations of the four genes. And we found two SSR markers, SAT372 and SAT064, that were found to map within 10 centimorgans of the RB gene. Now these markers were previously mapped within 3 centimorgans of RPP1. However, the Zimbabwe isolate that we used defeated two RPP1 sources in this test. So among those checks, we had PI200492, which is the original source of RPP1, and we also had an isoline developed by backcrossing the resistance from that PI into Williams 82. Both of those had lots of tan lesions, high severity, lots of sporulation. So we know we don't have the original RPP1. So this suggests that the RB gene we found is either closely linked to RPP1 or is another allele. So we've got the first map location, the first result. So the next step is to confirm these results. So we've constructed another population which carries the RB gene from PI594538A. But it's in another genetic background. So we have harvested F2-derived F3 lines from that population, and they're in Fort Detrick now, and they're going to be inoculated with the Zimbabwe isolate, and we want to check that the RB gene maps to the same location. So that's first population. The second population is derived from a cross between LG003372, high-yielding line, crossed with PI578457A, which has been found previously to contain red-brown lesions. So this experiment consisted of 144 F2 plants along with the parents and some checks. We inoculated these at the 10-day-old seedling stage at the University of Illinois greenhouse using a bulk field isolate that was collected from near Quincy, Florida. We used a concentration of 20,000 spores per milliliter. These were spray inoculated in the mist chamber followed by 24 hours of incubation under mist. And the disease symptoms were taken 11 days after inoculation. So they were inoculated at the unifoliate stage, and here's how they looked after 24 hours of incubation. And this is how the population looked a little bit after we did the rating. So we rated for lesion type, red, brown, or tan, which is a very clear segregation, and also lesion number per this unit of square centimeters. So we had like a piece of paper with a circle cut out of it, and that area worked out to 4.15 centimeters squared. So once we got the whole population results, we found that once again it segregated for a single dominant gene. So the 3372 parent, as expected, had tan lesions, and the PI parent had red-brown lesions. So since we've got F2 lines, we're looking for a 3-to-1 red-brown to tan ratio, and the data fit that, so we've got a single dominant gene. And we also found a significant difference among RB and tan lines for lesion numbers. So the tan lines had a higher number of lesions. So once again, we want to know where on the genome this maps. So we screened the parents of this population again for markers, SSR markers linked to the four known RPP genes, and we found that SATT460 mapped within one centimorgan of the gene that we found from this population. And this marker is one that was found to map near RPP Hyuga by Roger Borma's group. This is published in Crop Science now. And we also observed that the Florida bulk isolate that we used, when inoculated onto a line from Roger Borma's population containing the RPP Hyuga gene, you also get red-brown lesions. So this suggests that the gene from our population could be either the same as RPP Hyuga or closely linked to RPP Hyuga. And because of the similarity between RPP3 and RPP Hyuga, we could also have RPP3 again too. So for this population, we want to confirm our mapping work. So we have additional lines from the same cross up here. So we harvested F2-derived F3 lines, and we want to inoculate those lines with the same Florida bulk strain and check the RB gene maps to the same location. So those are our two major gene populations. Our third population is interesting because it's derived from a cross between the high-yielding line 3309 and this PI, which has been found previously to contain tan lesions but a much lower number. So our population consisted of 167 F2-derived F3 lines, the two parents, and the Williams 82 is a susceptible control check, and two sources of RPP1. So our experimental design was 5 single plant replicates in a randomized complete block design, and we inoculated 10-day-old seedlings with a bulk field isolate from Florida at a concentration of 20,000 spores per mil. So we rated these based on lesion number 11 days after inoculation, and constructed a linkage map based on SSRs in our lab and SNPs in collaboration with Perry Cregan's group using their Illumina assay, which assays lots of SNPs at once, 1,536 SNPs at once. So here's an example of the difference in lesion number between the two parents. So you see 3309 has all these lesions, around 30, 40 lesions, but the PI parent has only two. So once we looked at the whole population score, we found that it was segregating for partial resistance. The data appeared to follow a normal distribution. The two parents were significantly different, and the two parents had lesion numbers statistically equal to the extreme progeny, so we did not observe any transgressive segregants. And we also saw an absence of lesions on the RPP1 sources. So we made linkage map using 384 segregating SNPs and 71 SSRs, and using these we found three different QTLs on linkage groups A1, H, and K, with LOD score ranging from 2.4 to 2.6 to 3.3, and the percent of phenotypic variation explained ranging from 6.5 to 8.7. Linkage group KQTL is interesting not only because it has the highest LOD and percent of phenotypic variation explained, but also because this SNP marker maps within 20 centimorgans of SATT326. This was found by Roger Borma's group to be linked to a canopy damage QTL, so they had a population which was derived from an unrelated PI, and they rated for canopy damage and found a QTL linked to this marker. So that could be an interesting result. And for all three of these QTL, the PI allele was associated with reduced lesion number. So those results were based on one inoculation experiment, so of course we want to repeat the experiment, and that is in progress now. We also want to increase the SSR density near the 3 QTL so that we can compare our mapping work more clearly with other mapping work, which was done using SSRs rather than SNPs. And we have F3-derived F4 lines from the same population, and we want to inoculate those to confirm that our mapping work transfers to the next generation. So with that, I'd like to give my acknowledgments to the crew at Fort Detrick who helped us out with the 594 population, and USDA University of Illinois, who helped us out with the other two populations, and our financial support, which comes from the United Soybean Board. So, thank you.